scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguila. Aguila in the left circle. Passing to Yale, a shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. It is a Thursday, January 16th. Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. This is the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. Well, usually we do the Eric Francis Hour on Thursdays, but this week with Flames Talk, we do the Eric Francis Hour on Fridays rather, but this week, because we will be out at Hockey Day in Canada in Canmore with a whole bunch of special guests, moving the Eric Francis Hour to Thursday, which means lots to talk about with Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca, who joins us on the program right now. Hello, franchise.
How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry, I'm just trying to digest. I got bumped by Kelly Rudy. That's ridiculous.
I know. And I know the long-standing
feud. Who's
heard
of that guy?
Well, and on top of that, like you guys still aren't talking, right? You and Rudy haven't spoken in, what, 4 or 5 years now since the incident?
Since the incident. It's been an ongoing source of tension. We had a four-hour dinner in L.A. last week, but didn't seem to solve anything.
No, hey?
No.
All no, food, right? Still. It was just like nonstop food for 4 hours, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're both very hungry, and we couldn't iron out our differences. Oh well, we'll try again, probably on the next road trip.
you poor saps. Hey, speaking of Rudy, former goaltender. Who isn't talking about goaltending when talking about this Flames right now? You wrote about it in your most recent takeaways article over at sportsnet.ca. As Dustin Wolf gets ready to go Thursday night in St. Louis, it'll be his fifth start in 6 games. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk over the last number of weeks about, you know, why aren't the Flames giving Wolf more time? Why aren't the Flames giving Wolf the crease right now? Like, make this guy the number one. But, I mean, honestly, since mid-December, Francis, they kind of have. He has started 9 of the last 13 games, and this is his fifth start in 6 games on Thursday. During that stretch of 9 of 13, dating back to December 12th, he's 7-1-1 with a 9.29. Our goalie guru in the first hour of Thursday's show, Kevin Woodley, his adjusted numbers, fourth best in the league during that stretch of time. Like it's been a good run for Dustin Wolf. It's been a great season for Dustin Wolf. And, you know, for people clamoring for him to see more, well, it's already kind of happening right in front of our eyes, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? The coaches had said, even at the beginning of the year, that they wanted to be a battle. They wanted to be a platoon. But eventually, they'll probably let somebody kind of take the ball and run with it if they earn it. And, you know, when I was in L.A., sat down with Conroy, and he said exactly that. Husk has said that since, you know, to the Calgary media here. Like, they want someone now to grab it, and I think we all know, reading between the lines, who it should be, who everybody wants it to be, and who it is. And we're in the midst of it now. Like, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that Dustin Wolf, unless it really gets blown out tonight, I guess, but I don't even think that would matter. I still think he's coming back and playing Saturday again. And after that, I'm pretty sure he's going to have a continued long leash from now till the rest of the year. Look, at some point, if they see fatigue start to creep in or be any sort of an issue, then they would be happy to put Vladar in for a little longer stretch, 2, 3, 4, maybe in a row, to spell Wolf off. But this net is Wolf's now moving forward. And I know that's music to a lot of people's ears because I know every time you tweet out the starting goalie every morning, people lose their mind when it's Vladar. So we're getting the people's choice. And quite frankly, he's earned it and deserved it. Like, We always say that the reason the Flames are in this playoff race right now, number one reason is because of goaltending. And that includes Vladar, who's done a good job shielding Wolf from the tougher starts. Not that Wolf hasn't had some tough starts, but he's shielded him. He's worked well with him. But at the end of the day, I really think that game the other night in St. Louis was symbolic of how it's gone all year long. Dan Vladar was good. Nobody can blame him for the loss, but he wasn't quite good enough. And I think Wolf has been good enough far more often. So he's the guy who gets the ball from now on.
It's super interesting, the all of the different conversations you can have about this. But I don't think there's any debate that Dustin Wolf has earned an opportunity to get more workload. I mean, 10 of 14, which is what it'll be after this game in St. Louis Thursday night, 10 of 14 is about 71% of the workload. That may be a little high for where the Flames are thinking down the stretch, but if it were to be two-thirds the rest of the way, I don't think anybody would be surprised by that. So that's two out of every three starts. Thanks, math whiz. Do I really need to break that down? Two-thirds of the way, that's two out of every three. Thanks, Steinberg. You're really helping everybody out. But, you know, so if he goes two out of three the rest of the way, you know, that's a good chunk of starts that gets him into a nice number when it's all said and done. But, you know, Kevin Woodley broke it down, and lots of other people have talked about this. You do need to make sure that you're monitoring. You do need to make sure that you're going out of your way so that you're not going to overwork him and not going to put him in a spot where the numbers start to drop. Like, you still do want to continue putting him in a place to succeed and maybe more importantly, not putting him in a spot to fail. Like, if he is fatigued and you're seeing signs that he might be continuing to roll him out just because you're in a playoff race, that's something I still think the Flames need to guard against. But so far, Francis, he's done nothing to show us that fatigue is creeping in, right? Like, he's done nothing to show us that they need to worry about that right now. But I'm quite confident they will have that in their mind going forward. But I do think it's important to continue keeping that in mind.
For sure, and they will. Listen, I know people have been frustrated at the slow pace in which Dustin Wolf has been introduced to full-time employment in the National Hockey League. But can anybody fault one single step they've taken? They've taken it slow. They've had it all done with the long-term in mind. They've eased him in. You know, last year they got it, gave him a little bit of a taste. Actually, he's not so bad. Let's give him a little bit more this year and start the season this year. Obviously, they can't put him down in the minors anyway, so he's here. And let's just shield him. Let's go 50-50, but make sure that he doesn't ever play the second half of back-to-backs. Let's make sure he doesn't play the really, really tough road games. And now he keeps checking every box dating back to when he was in junior. Like, every single time anyone ever questioned, can he make the next step? Of course, he always does it. And so now he's checked another box that says, can you be a full-time NHLer and size isn't an issue anymore? That's been answered. Like, we've talked about that months ago. That's no longer, if anyone talks about how, I don't know if Dustin Wolf is big enough to play in the NHL anymore, they're like 2 years behind in conversation. So that's been answered. Now the next box to check is, can he be counted on in the very toughest situations? And they're about to find out. That's kind of the whole point of what I wrote the other day, which is just, they said that they were going to give somebody the ball. He has it. We've seen this coming for a while. There's no reason to believe he can't handle the very final step, which is, you know, playing the toughest of assignments. I guess the final step is proving that you can do all this in the playoffs, but he has to check this box first for us to be able to get to answer that next one.
Well, and the whole idea here going forward is, like, you're trying to build Wolf up. You're trying to put him in a spot where he turns into your franchise goalie. So yeah, it's a fascinating conversation, but at the same time, I think it's pretty clear where the organization wants to go with him, right? Like, you said a little earlier,
everybody,
right?
Everybody wants to go with him.
That's just it. Yeah. Like, you said, music to a lot of Flames fans' ears. Like, I do think that you're seeing a lot of people very happy about the way this workload has started to trend. And honestly, Francis, this was the time to do it, right? Like, you, in the first half of the season, you wanted to ease him in. Well, now we're into the third quarter of the season, and a playoff race feels a whole lot more real. And he's gotten a good chunk of work, and he's worked his way in. Like, this is the time to do it, right?
Yeah, and And as we all know, as the season progresses, the games get progressively harder. And I dare say that the time when teams really start to turn it on this year, it's a very obvious time for me will be after the Four Nations tournament. That's when every game matters the most. And you know, there's so much on the line. Pressure gets ramped up. Players are playing for jobs for next year if they're on also-rans. Guys who are trying to ramp up for the playoffs, teams are trying to get home ice advantage. Like, it all goes without saying, the games get so much more important. And we need, the Flames and the fans and everybody wants to see how he reacts to that, because the game does get a whole lot harder. Like, I'm not sure this team is going, I think the big question for the team is, can they continue to maintain a playoff spot or at least stay in this race as the games get harder? And a lot of people, I don't think, are convinced, there's debate on whether they can or can't. But the goaltender, I'm not really worried about him. Are you? Like,
nope.
You know, as things get harder, I still feel like it's not like guys are shooting harder. This guy's got it all figured out. And the way he tracks the puck, the way he moves laterally, the way he reads plays, like everything about it is stick handling. Like, I'm not sure there's anything that anyone thinks is going to get exposed here with the increased workage and the increased pressure on him.
Here's something that you'll find quite hilarious as you say that, because I'm with you. I'm not worried about it. I'm very, very optimistic and almost turning from optimistic into like quite confident that the Flames have found a franchise goalie. I really do believe that with what we're seeing from Wolf. And I know that goaltending's weird, and I know that things change, and this is the most bizarre position to figure out long-term. But that is my belief in terms of what we're seeing from Dustin. But there are still people, unironically or non-trolling, who are texting in about how he's still too small, how the league will figure him out, how they don't believe in him, all those types of things. And I know you've said this many times. You've said it on intermissions. You've said it on this program. You've written it. Like, I don't understand how that's still a thing. Like, how is the he's too small conversation not completely locked away in a trunk in the basement somewhere? It makes no sense. You don't be one of the best goaltenders for more than half of an NHL season by being too small. That's not to say that he's perfect, but I am having a hard time wrapping my head around how that remains a narrative with what he's accomplished in a non-negligible body of work here.
Yeah, like I can't help those people who are just can't figure that out. I mean, but look, what a good season have looked like for Dustin Wolf. Like, it's kind of interesting if we would look back, try to remember where our headspace was at going into the season and said, okay, if at the end of the season we've determined we could all agree that Dustin Wolf has had a good year, what does that look like? Hmm. Is that a 500 record? Because, again, remember where everyone thought this team would be this year. So, okay, at the end of the year, what was the best-case scenario? He might be two or three, maybe five games above 500 at the end of the season on a team that's probably not going to come close to making the playoffs. Well, what's his record? 14-6-2?
15-6-2.
I shortchanged him. 15-6-2. One of the best records in the National Hockey League with all the accompanying numbers that go with it on a team that's one of the lowest scoring teams in the league and a team that has really no business being in the playoff race if it weren't for Dustin Wolf. Like, what more? Like, how, and still someone's going to question he's too short or too small?
I don't get it.
Come on.
I don't get
like,
it.
Throw, come up with another knock on him. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's not mature enough or like, I don't know. Like,
he's too soft spoken. He doesn't speak loud enough in the media.
Yeah. He's too humble. Like, oh my God. Like, I don't know. I can't help those people.
Okay. Weigh in on this because, this goes back to the conversation about Vladar and Wolf and the more difficult workload that Vladar has had to shoulder this year. Which I do think we're going to see start to be, I think we're going to start to see that maybe eased off a little bit now that we're into the second half of the season. But we ran these numbers, because you mentioned the St. Louis game, right? How that was the first St. Louis game. That was a perfect example of Dan Vladar's season. good, but not quite good enough, whereas more often than not, Wolf has been good and good enough. But how about the difference in run support? So you run the numbers over a full season, and it's 2.8 goals per game the Flames are scoring when Wolf's in net, and 2.3 goals per game when Vladar's in net. So half a goal difference. If you start to isolate it, like if you take the first two starts for Vladar out of the picture where the Flames scored a pretty decent amount, you take those two out of the picture, well, then actually it's about a 0.65 difference in goals per game. But over the course of a full season so far, it's half a goal a game more the Flames are scoring with Wolf in net as opposed to with Vladar in net. And that's not an insignificant number, knowing how little the Flames score. Half a goal, that's a significant chunk of Calgary's offense, and they're getting that much more when Wolf's in net.
But again, that goes back to when, you know, a couple of weeks ago I wrote that column. We talked about it on the air, crunching the numbers in terms of just how much harder the starts
right?
have been in general.
Is that your main reason as to why that would be?
That would be my main reason. My second reason would just be confidence in front of the guy and also the desire to want to make this, you know, help this youngster who's got all sorts of confidence and talent. And these guys, maybe they just do stand a foot taller when they're playing in front of them, and they want to. They, you know, their mindset, they play a little harder, or I don't know. But I would just chalk it up to the strength of schedule. I mean, it's just, look, five times Wolf has sat from the bench and watched Vladar play in the second half of a back-to-back. We all know what teams' records are around the National Hockey League on the second half of back-to-backs. And those numbers are there for a reason. It's just a tough ask. And, you know, he did manage to steal one of those, a win in Edmonton earlier in the season. But other than that, the other four, Vladar's been on the losing end because the team just, it's just too much to ask for a team, especially on the road. So I chalk it up to the strength of schedule, you know, 90%.
When we last talked about this, you wrote that article, I think it was 2 weeks ago on the Eric Francis Hour. When we last talked about this, you know, we discussed Vladar's future and the merits of keeping him or trading him or letting him walk. And one of the things that we discussed was where would Vladar's mindset be in terms of, we all know that Dustin Wolf is the future. We all know that's what the Flames want. We all know that he is the guy that they desire to be their goalie going forward. But that was before, you know, we were really into the teeth of this turning into Wolf's crease for the time being. Like, I wonder how this last number of weeks, last 3-4 weeks, where it is 10 starts and 14 for Wolf, now 5 of 6. Heck, if he goes, because I'm with you, I think he starts Saturday in Winnipeg. I think he starts the following Thursday when they play again at home to Buffalo. And if that's the case, that's 7 of 8 that Wolf ends up starting. So as this continues, I wonder how that changes Vladar's mindset on where he'd like to be going forward. Because, you know, regardless of what people think on the outside, he's a professional athlete. He's wired to want to play. And he, I wonder if that might start to make him think a little bit more about a place where going forward, there's a potential for more playing time.
Yeah, I think it's eventually going to sink in that he's going to realize what his lot in life is. You know, the open audition for both of them is over to some degree. They both passed. They both did very well, but one did significantly better than the other. And the odds were always in favor of him being the guy anyway. I mean, they were stacked. I mean, there was really no question.
Yeah.
And I do remember talking about that a couple of weeks ago and saying that, you know, he knew that the ball was going to be given to someone real soon here. And in his heart of hearts, he had to know it wasn't going to be him. I think it's going to sink in, you know, probably close to season's end that, you know, he won't be brought back next year. I don't think he'll be traded. I've had extensive conversations with a number of people about what his market value is right now in the trade world. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at a fifth rounder for Dan Vladar. That's the return you can expect for Dan Vladar. Now, as we get closer to the trade deadline, maybe there's someone who loses a goalie or feels like they really need to augment their backup position. And maybe the Flames could squeeze a fourth rounder out of them. But those people dreaming of a second or third rounder, I can just tell you that's not based in reality. And this comes from mouths of people around the National Hockey League who are in the know. So, you know, my guess has always been that he'll play this season out. And then at the end of the season, he'll realize that there are better opportunities but probably more importantly, more money elsewhere. And he'll have to weigh the two. He'll have to weigh the two because, you know what, I bet you, I really do believe he's so comfortable here and so thankful for the opportunity here over the years that he would take less money to stay here, you know, knowing that the grass isn't always greener elsewhere. But he also can see what's happening, and everyone in the hockey world can see what's happening, and the fact that Dan Vladar is going to continue to get squeezed on starts from now till the end of next year and moving forward in future years. It's just not going to be in the cards for him to stay here and play any more than like 20 games, probably 25 games next year.
Last one before we wrap up the goaltending conversation, Eric, and a little earlier this week, Vickers, Wilsey, and I on our roundtable discussed who the first half MVP has been for the Flames. Wilsey and I both said Dustin Wolf. Vicks had Wolf number two and Huberdeau number one. Who's it been for you? I know that you did your midseason report recently over at Sportsnet.ca. It's a great read, and your biggest surprise was Dustin Wolf. But who would be your MVP? Would he also be it for you, even though he hasn't had like the lion's share of games in the first half of the season?
No, but the starts that he has had, he's made the most of them. I mean, that 15-6-2 says it all. Like, that's an incredible record for – That's a great record for anyone. You play for the Florida Panthers and you're a vet. Sergei Bobrovsky would be thrilled with that record. We're talking about a rookie who's playing on a fringe team and he has that record. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a slam dunk. He's your MVP of the Calgary Flames, no question about it. You know, down the road, we're going to have extensive talks. I'm sure you've already had conversations with the boys about, you know, where does he rank in the Calder Trophy race? And I'm not real keen on getting into those sort of things at the midway point. I mean, now everyone does their midway kind of picks. But, you know, at this point in time, if the vote were held right now, he would not be a finalist, in my opinion. He would not.
Really?
And it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right. But I'm telling you, he wouldn't be a finalist, in my opinion. I think Mitch Cobb would get that third spot. And I think, you know, I mean, Lane Hutson belongs to be a finalist, and Celebrini's still the favorite to win the whole thing this year. But I really believe that by season's end, Wolf will have put up the sort of numbers, you know, for a full season and with the augmented number of starts, that he will have numbers that will be good enough for him to earn that third spot in the Calder Trophy finalist conversation. Right now, I don't think he's there. There's so much hype about Mitch Cobb. Every time if he gets benched, it's a massive story in the States. Every time he gets a couple goals, it's a big story. Like, people are fascinated by this guy, and he's talented as hell. There's no question. And he's put up okay numbers. I do think it'll be an interesting battle between those two for that final spot in the Calder race. You think I'm way off base? You think my fellow brethren would be smart enough to vote Wolf in as a finalist? I don't give my brethren that much credit.
And I really hate guessing what a group of voters is going to do because it's kind of a fool's errand. I'm with you. I just have seen enough of the different outlets, like whether it's the Three Letter Network, whether it's obviously us, whether it's The Athletic, whether it's NHL.com. I've seen enough of those kind of graphics that have come out, like, this is our top 10 for the Calder midway through the season, and Wolf has been top 3 or 4 in every single one. So I can't sit here and tell you either, Francis, that I think for sure he'd be one of the finalists as of right now. But if he's not, it would be close. And I definitely think, looking at it from this standpoint, obviously both of us are a whole lot closer to it, but I think he should be, because I think you can make the argument that of the rookies involved, Wolf has been the most important to his team that is also fighting for a playoff spot, which for some means something, which for others doesn't mean something. I'm not sure how much it should or shouldn't mean anything, but I do think he should very well be in this mix. And when you're talking about Calder Trophy finalists, whether you can say definitively that Wolf would be one of your top three or would be one of the top three, like, you'd be burying your head in the sand to say he's not one of the top rookies in the NHL this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching it on a nightly basis. I've seen how he's transformed this organization from, you know, a team that just frankly hasn't scored enough to really deserve to be in this race. but they're in this race because of one player, largely, you know. And it's interesting because, you know, we've always harped on the fact that the Hart Trophy is voted on the player adjudicated to be the most valuable to his team. That's a very important nuance, that wording. It's not just the best player in the National Hockey League. I've long said the best player in the National Hockey League should be the Wayne Gretzky Award, and that should be a separate one, just for the best player, period. But we don't have that. And so, anyway, the rookie, it's not the player adjudicated to be the most valuable rookie to his team or a rookie adjudicated to be the most valuable to his team. I like the way you put it. Nobody has been more valuable to their team of all those rookies than Wolf. Like, he's, you know, season altering for the Calgary Flames.
For sure.
That said, look, I'm not denigrating Celebrini. Like, they're selling out in San Jose again because people are so excited about Celebrini. Like, there were a lot of empty seats in that building for the last couple of years, but this guy comes along and they're selling out again, and people are jacked about the future because of him. And they should be. This guy's a superstar in the making, yeah, for sure. But we're talking about right now, this year, as a rookie, he hasn't had the impact on the team that Wolf's had. But that's not the way we look at it. That's not the way the vote is. It's just who's the best rookie, and that's a different kind of conversation.
Eric Francis with us. It's a Thursday edition of the Eric Francis Hour, usually on Friday, this week on a Thursday. Eric Francis on Twitter, at Eric Francis. You can catch him on Sportsnet and, of course, read him all the time at sportsnet.ca. Flames talk underway this hour, and we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
It's a Thursday edition of the Eric Francis Hour. Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca with us. Pat Steinberg as well on Flames Talk this hour. So, EF, you wrote over at Sportsnet.ca earlier this week your midseason report. Flames are into their second half. And, you know, did your biggest question going forward, biggest surprise player, which for you was Dustin Wolf. And you also did your biggest disappointment. And you went with Andre Kuzmenko as your biggest disappointment, rather. But not necessarily an easy one to decide, hey?
You know, it depends what context you put it. Look, to me, with Kuzmenko, you were playing with house money. Look, I mean, you're counting on him this year to be a, you know, top six or nine forward. More than anything else, you were hoping he would be kind of the linchpin on your power play, because he was the last, 20 games last year. He was fantastic, especially with the man advantage. But, you know, they'd already gotten so much from that Elias Lindholm trade that's why I refer to him as kind of, you know, house money. And, you know, they've already got so much from the deal, but they were anticipating getting more by flipping him at this year's deadline. There was no interest in signing him long-term. The idea was showcase him this year. Hopefully he does well. And then you could flip him for anything. Could you get anywhere from a second to a fifth? Well, they're not getting anything for Andre Kuzmenko. One goal, a power play goal on the fourth game of the season. That's it for the entire season.
Huh.
Just can't figure out that he's got to shoot the puck. He's got a shot per game. Like, I think of that the other day, I think 33 games, whatever it is, he's played 33 games, that's 33 shots. Like, it's, he just can't figure it out. Like, the toolbox just, he's got the tools, but that toolbox is not working for him. So, I don't think anybody thinks his career is going to be in the NHL next year. I don't think anyone thinks that they could get a thing for him at the deadline. I think all you can do is hope for him to, you know, maybe show up for the last, you know, 20, 30 games and help that power play at the very least. Now, the other guy who's obviously in the running is Yegor Sharangovich. And, you know, I could buy the argument that he's more disappointing because you've invested $28.5 million on this guy over the next 5 years. Like, you know, by extending his contract and paying him a significant amount of money, you're counting on him to play a significant role. And he hasn't, you know, what has he got? 6 goals, 7 goals? only a few more points than Kuzmenko. So I could buy the argument either way. They've both been colossal disappointments. And I've heard Willsy talking about how he thinks Sharangovich is trending in the right way. And I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing him. I see him more. Still misses the net more than any player that I've seen in the league this year. Just a zero impact player, like a very big disappointment for this organization right now. Now, you know, he's capable of more. 31 goals last year. He's only got 6 or 7 this year. I could buy that. Where do you land on that? You going with Kuzmenko too?
I don't know. Probably. But again, it would be close because Sharangovich has been a frustrating player. And I'm more with Willsy. I do think that we've seen more from him over the last week or two. Scored that goal against Chicago, and you know, he's been hitting the post. He's been shooting it more. He's been more around it. You're right. He's still missing egregiously at times, but at least we're seeing him shoot it more. He's gotten himself back into the penalty kill. I am seeing a little bit more from Sharangovich over the last 5-6 games, something like that. But still, you want to see more. And it's not just worrisome for me, Eric, because he's on the contract and he hasn't even started the extension yet, which is worrisome. And I've seen that lots on on social media. But the other thing that's worrisome is that it continues to play into a pattern for him. Like, it's not like he was 82 games of lights out last year either. It took 2 months for him or more to get into a groove, and then he started to score, and then he put up the 35 goals, and that was great. But you know, it was a very inconsistent first year, and it was only the final like two-thirds of the season or final half of the season where Sharangovich turned into a revelation. And so it is somewhat concerning that now, what, 4 or 5 seasons into his NHL career, again had a great finish to the season, starts it so poorly. And you can talk about the injury and being shifted to center in the wing. Maybe that's a big reason for it, but still started really poorly. And it's taken him this long to maybe start showing some signs of getting out of it. That is a little concerning because, like, is this who he is? Is he just a streaky guy? Is he an inconsistent player? Is it going to be stretches of 20, 30 games where he makes an impact, but then 20, 30 games or more where he's kind of a perimeter guy? That's what's worrisome about that and the fact that the contract hasn't started on top of it. Maybe a little bit more disappointing big picture would be where Sharangovich is right now.
Yeah, and in his defense, he has been able to contribute more than Kuzmenko has. Like, you know, Kuzmenko was always just kind of a one-trick pony. He was going to help you on the power play and create some offense, you know, potentially from time to time, 5-on-5. But, and hey, he's a flashy player with a ton of skill. Like, you watch him in warm-up, like, there are a few guys that are more impressive in the warm-up than he is. But, again, once the puck's dropped, it's just a mess. And but in terms of Sharangovich, at least he's been valuable in terms of killing some penalties. And also, you know, they really need him right now up the middle because of Connor Zary's injury. And we know how woefully short this organization is on centermen right now. And he's, you know, he's standing in there. He doesn't necessarily fit in there very well, but at least he's providing the minutes and killing penalties at the same time. And yes, I agree. He's been around it a little more lately. We've noticed him more for the right reasons. But he's still not getting the job done. Very concerning for the Calgary Flames. Now, I think when they signed him in the summer, you're like, wow, that's okay. So that's big money they're putting on him. But you know, you look at it and do we lose reality when we talk about money in sports, but you know, it's really not that big a money contract. Like it's five point, you know, whatever it is per year for him. And I'm not saying you sneeze at that, but given the way that the salary cap's going up next year and the year after, you know, if you got a guy for the next 5 years and he's making just over $5 million, I know it's not good, but I guess I'm just trying to put it in perspective because we're just sitting here in a city where Jonathan Huberto is making $10.5 million, and it's just been, you know, it's been a real challenge. 5.5 seems a whole lot less, I guess, when you put it in those sort of terms.
Fair. And maybe we do see him figure it out a little bit. Like maybe.
Oh, at some point he will. I am optimistic that he will at some point. But you're right. It might be in fits and spurts.
And that's the only thing I wonder about, like, over the course of his time with the Flames, because one of the reasons the Devils had him available in the Toffoli trade was because they also were frustrated with his inconsistency, and he had that great first year, and then it fell off in the second year, and Sharon Govich had an inconsistent but largely positive first year, and now it's been an inconsistent, largely frustrating first half of a second year. Like, this is what I'm a little concerned about, and hopefully, because I really do like him. He's a really nice guy, and you know, he is well-liked inside that locker room, and the attributes he brings to the ice, there are some really good things to like there. So I hope this all gets figured out, but I do worry about now this, like, he's just an inconsistent player for the career. He's kind of that enigmatic guy for the career, and that would be the point that I worry about with him signed for as long as he's going to be signed here for.
Yeah, and again, Kuzmenko was destined to only be here this year, or in a lot of people's minds, was only going to be here for half the year or three quarters of the year. If they get something for him, it'll be minuscule. If they don't get anything for him, oh, well, they've already got quite a haul for Lindholm. But it's still a situation where, it was just bonus. Sharon Govich is not a bonus. He's an integral part. He has to be an integral part moving forward.
You also talked about the biggest question for this team going into the kind of stretch drive of the season, second half of the season. And essentially the question is, right, like, can they stay in this thing? That's what everybody wants to know is, does this group have the ability to stay in this playoff fight? Right now it feels like maybe St. Louis, maybe Utah, but feels more realistic, Calgary and Vancouver fighting for one spot. I don't know if I see Minnesota, Edmonton, Colorado, even Los Angeles. Los Angeles would be the one team that's in that top seven that I'm still, of the seven, I've got the least faith in. So maybe they could fall back into the pack a little bit. But right now, it kind of feels like could very well be Calgary and Vancouver for one spot here.
Yeah, I could see that. Now, listen, don't give up on St. Louis. I mean, that's a big game tonight, right? They could sweep 4 points from the Calgary Flames and narrow that gap to one pretty quickly. So, but listen, I do think a lot of people around here certainly think it's going to be a race between Calgary and Vancouver. And I think people are excited that that's the one team that they're probably going up against because it's such a gong show over there right now. Like, it's such a soap opera drama. And there will be changes there. Like, Brock Besser's gone for sure at the deadline, with an expiring contract. He's definitely going to get traded. You know, it sure sounds like Miller or Pettersson, one of them has to go because they both can't stay on the island sort of thing. Like, they're going through exactly what the Calgary Flames went through last year, where you knew or you worried or you thought a lot about or everybody talked about the possibility of people leaving, core pieces leaving. God, I've seen that game where we all lived that game for an entire year last year. There's none of that this year. Like, if you would have said to me at the beginning, like, I think a lot of people thought, what would be the big question in the second half? I think there are some people out there who go, will they trade Anderson? Will they trade Vladar? Well, I don't think they're trading either, personally. So I don't think that's a storyline at all around here. You know, will they trade Kuzmenko? He'd be third on the list. Well, we just went through that. There's no way they're getting anything for Kuzmenko. Yeah. So the trade deadline, I'm not saying it's irrelevant because contractually I'm paid to hype it up so that everybody watches on the 7th. But I am saying that, you know, it's not like there won't be many people moved out of here. There will be people brought in here, if anything. I really believe that. And, you know, obviously they've been looking for that youngster who could be here long-term up the middle. But I got news for everybody, like 7 or 8 teams in the mix right now that are gunning for a playoff spot are all looking for a 20 to 25-year-old center. So I'm not sure it's happening during the regular season. In fact, I don't think it's going to. But that's not to say you shouldn't tune in on the 7th.
Exactly.
They'll be juggling. There'll be joke telling. There will be all sorts of stuff. Ryan and Leslie and I have something up our sleeve that we're probably gonna unveil that day. We got so much.
Oh, like a good, like a routine. You've got a bit that you've been working on.
Yeah, like a, you know, like a, in the TikTok vein, you know, like something that we do together. Like yeah,
you got a trending dance, a viral dance.
Yeah, I can't say exactly what it is, and look, we're not losing TikTok on the weekend, right? Only the Americans are losing TikTok.
I believe it's only the Americans that are losing TikTok. If they don't, what is it? They got to sell. The company's got to sell TikTok or whatever it is, then they'll lose it in the United States. So, yes, we still get all the viral dance trends even after the big D-Day south of the border.
Okay, good. Well, it's not like we're going to unveil it on there anyway beforehand. So it's just stay tuned. It'll be good.
Can you do it? Will you yodel for us? Will that be?
Oh, you remember the yodeling. Yeah, that was a fan favorite.
I'll be honest, I'll never forget the yodeling. I won't lie. That'll stick with me the rest of my life. Good stuff, buddy. We'll do it again on Friday next week. Appreciate the time as always, EF. Great stuff. We'll check it all out at sportsnet.ca. Some really good stuff this week and more after this game against St. Louis on Thursday night. Thank you, pal.
Have fun in Canmore. I just got back from the mountains myself. I was skiing at Sunshine today and it's snowing like crazy out there. So have fun, my friend.
Yes, and I'm glad you got home safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Cheers, my man.
Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. He joins us every week, usually on Fridays. This week on Thursday, the Eric Francis Hour. Lots that we dug into, starting with the Dustin Wolf, Dan Vladar workload conversation, and moving on from there. And this hour, the Eric Francis Hour, as we start to wrap this hour up with Shan Vergy and Cameron Hughes as our outstanding producers, this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.